Oh my. Is this crazy? No, it's the news, according to me. Oh, it's Thursday, 9:21 already a.m. 9:21 a.m. Thursday morning, August 8th, 2024. I don't have very much chai left in the old cup here. I do have a backup cup, though, this morning. I have creamy vanilla chai with Almond Joy creamer in it. I'm at the home studio this morning. Got back from, I was in Huntsville most of this week. And Huntsville, Alabama. It's hot down there. I thought it was hot here. It's hot there. It's just hot. And it's hot all the way till the sun goes down, and then it's just overly warm. But it's I've redefined what hot is now in my head, because it's just hot. I have a backup cup, which is my own homemade brew of sweet tea, which is always nice to come home to, even though I made it last weekend. I think I made it last Sunday or Saturday, and it's still good. It's still good because I make it right. I've had a plethora of different kinds of tea over this last week. I had Bojangles chicken tea. I don't know if it was just this. I have to believe it was just that restaurant, because it was bad. Bojangles sells their tea in half gallon and gallon jugs, even, because they claim it's so world famous. I would not buy I will not buy another one. At least not from that one. I might try another one from another store. If it's the same way, I'm never going to get Bojangles sweet tea again, ever. Because it has there's a certain chemical taste that I can detect in certain kinds of tea. And it's definitely in their tea. And it's, once you've tasted it, you cannot go back to it. It's always possible. Now, see, one of the big things that people who make sweet tea or any kind of beverages, what they don't realize is that one of the major factors, one of the things that can cause flavor to be good or bad in any particular type of beverage. And now, carbonated sodas, you can't tell. There can be a background taste. And unless it's an aftertaste, you will not usually tell the difference between, sometimes you can't even tell the difference between Coke and Pepsi. If it's, depending on the way they mix it, sometimes you can't tell, especially with the differences in the way they carbonate things. However, tea, if there's an issue with anything, you will notice it right away, because tea is not an overwhelming flavor. It's mostly just sweet water with a little flavoring from the tea in it. We have, if you do it right. And so the problem with that is that there's one main ingredient in tea, in iced tea, that is pretty big deal. It's the ice. If the ice has a weird flavor, if the water that you've frozen is just city water with chlorine or whatever it is in there, or cleaning product, if you clean the iced tea system, that's one of the biggest issues with most teas. Arby's has a terrible time in most of their restaurants scouring their tea containers. And you get this coliform bacteria that develops inside there, and it makes a funky taste. I can't stand it. It's not good. It's bad. It's a bad taste. It's bad because it's bad for you. Well, it's not going to kill you. It's not a deadly bacteria. The problem is it's a bacteria that will get in your gut and affect your gut. And I wanted to tell you more about that. It happens, you know, at the other end. It's not pretty. It usually isn't anyway, but it's even worse than not pretty. It's one of those things you have to realize. So they're borderline having issues there, you know, with people having issues. And the problem is, if you scour it and you don't rinse the chemicals out, depending on what you scour it with, best thing to scour it with is just hot water and baking soda. Just, you know, clean it out with that. And then flush it really good with hot water. And then you every day. If you do that every day, your tea will be the best in the world. The way that they do it right. The problem is they don't do it right with containment and distribution. I should be in charge of sweet tea for some guy probably making $1 million a year, doesn't understand sweet tea. I guarantee you, the people will beat a path to your door. I avoid restaurants because of their sweet tea, or if they don't have sweet tea, I'm very reluctant to go, first of all. And then secondly, if they do have it, if it's not any good, I don't like to go. Culver's has a very consistent sweet tea. Now, there's one particular Culver's I know of in Chicago that I will not go back. I will not order sweet tea there anymore. I'll get a lemonade, but I will not. It's not good. Lemon and lemonade, by the way, is extremely sweet. The lemon part of it is good for you, but unfortunately, a lot of lemonade is just artificial flavoring, but it's extremely sweet. I don't know what they put in it to make it so sweet, but it is. If they put that much sugar in it or not, I don't know, but it's a lot more sugar than most sweet tea has. But I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a lemonade specialist. I'm not a financial counselor. However, I'm not a constitutional lawyer either. However, there are some people who apparently think that they are. And apparently, supposedly, Jamie Raskin, Democrat. Supposedly, he's some kind of big shot. I've heard him be introduced as a constitutional scholar. Now, Barack Obama was also considered a constitutional professor. He was not. He was an adjunct professor. He was never on staff as a professor with any kind of, what do they call it? When you're there for so long, you get whatever it's called. And so he was never that. He was an adjunct professor. He was a fill-in. He was there when they needed him occasionally. He would do some classes. You're loosely associated with a particular university to teach some classes. That's probably not the right definition, because I'm not a thesaurus or a dictionary either. However, this is Jamie Raskin, who recently went through some cancer issues. And he was wearing this little hood thing to make a big deal out of it over his head. Now he's just letting his hair grow out, and it looks like, I don't know, it looks like he hasn't cut his hair since it's grown out, and he's got a little ponytail in the back now, like a little bitty, because his hair is about as short as mine. It just looks stupid now. His hair just looks bad. I'm like, put the hood back on. I don't know what you're doing with your hair now, but maybe you just don't want to cut it off because I don't know what's going on with that. When people are this unaware of their disheveled look, they can't present themselves in at least a particular manner that is presentable. And I've had some friends like this. They just all of a sudden they don't care what they look like. They don't shave. They don't do anything with their hair. They just let it go. Just walk around like they just got out of bed. Like they've been in bed for the last 6 months, and they haven't done anything personally hygienically. It's just, and then you wonder why people treat you the way they treat you. I don't get that. You walk out of the house looking like a homeless person, I don't do that, but I get. Offered some food by a homeless person the other day, which kind of freaked me out a little bit. I don't think I look like a homeless person. In my house, sometimes I do, ironically. Walking around the house looking like a homeless person. What's the irony in that? I have, that's good sweet tea. By the way, and I also had some Chick-fil-A sweet tea, which was very good. I was a little frustrated. I think I talked about this the other day. I was a little frustrated with the sweet tea incident that happened at Chick-fil-A. However, Longhorn had very good sweet tea, so I was very happy with that. Because I had a good experience there. At least the sweet tea was good. She gave me a sweet tea to go, however, but it took her so long to get my bill paid that it actually, my sweet tea was, my to-go sweet tea was gone by the time I got out the door. So I didn't get to take it with me. It wasn't really a to-go cake. It was just less tea. But it was good. Okay, so onward and upward here. Jamie Raskin. Constitutional scholar. If you look at this, there's... It amazes me sometimes when I look at things like, stuff like, things like the comments that are under some of his video, you know, he'll have a video posted on MSNBC or something or CNN or whatever it is. If you look at the comments, there are these glowing, ridiculous, responses to some of the things these people say. Oh, Raskin's the best person in the world, or Dan Goldman. Dan Goldman's another one. He'll be on there and he'll be going on and on about something about Joe Biden, how great he is, and all this. He's the greatest person in the world, and blah, 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 blah. He just keeps on going. And then you look at the comments, and there's just nothing but comment after about just glowing reports of what they think of this. Oh, this is the best. He's the best person in the world. Oh, he's the greatest. Oh, he's the greatest, 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 greatest. He's right on. Yeah, stick it to him. Yeah, whatever, whatever. He could be sitting there lying. He can be telling you that the moon is on fire and everybody, oh, he's so smart. Oh, he's... It's these responses that... And they're so similar. And then you have to realize there's something else going on here. There's something else very different going on with this stuff. And it's... They're showing these... This is the problem we had in 2016. It's astroturf. And when you wrap yourself in astroturf, you think that you're on the right side of things and everything's going good and this is what's going to happen because you've convinced yourself this is the way it has to happen. What happened in 2016 was everyone believed Hillary Clinton 1,000%, according to the FBI, people at the FBI, Hillary was going to win. And if she didn't win, we have a insurance policy. These are high ups at the FBI. Management quality people here in the upper levels of the FBI thinking that Hillary Clinton's going to win. She's got to win. And if she doesn't win, but you know, these people are, oh, they're above that. They're above politics. They're not part of the political world. Oh no. But they've got an insurance policy just in case she doesn't win, they can go after Trump because, you know, they're not political at all. They're there to save the country. That kind of baloney. It's the kind of baloney we have all the time. So here we go. We have Jamie Raskin. He's out there now saying this about a civil war on January 6th of 2025. In other words, he's talking about the Electoral College. I don't know if he's talking about a January 6th event. You have to listen carefully to what he says here. Sometimes you can't tell just exactly what the words a person says, what they're saying, because sometimes they'll say something. Joe Biden was this every time he'd make a speech, you had to kind of read between the lines on what he was saying because he wouldn't say complete sentences. He'd miss out words. He'd mispronounce things. He would say things in present tense or past tense when he meant the opposite. He would start, and you kind of knew what he was trying to say, kind of like true international depression. If you knew the context of what he was saying in the whole paragraph, you might understand Okay, he probably meant this. So I have to give, you have to give some benefit of the doubt sometimes when people are speaking like this, that that's probably not the way they meant it, or they probably meant, you know, that this is what they actually meant, even though they said this. And recently, Joe Biden said his vice president, Donald Trump, I think he meant Kamala Harris. And by the way, Kamala Harris is the vice president right now and basically acting as the president right now. Talking about if she's elected president, she's going to do all this. She's going to stop the corporate greed, and she's going to this price gouging and fixing, and she's going to, in other words, more government control. More government control. This is socialism. This is, it's communism, basically. It's the control, it's the regulation, the power over the means of production. They just want to take more and more control over the means of production. This is what they're progressing towards, and it is communism. It is collectivism at its worst. It's a Marxist form of collectivism. That is what they're progressing towards. When they call themselves progressives or socialists, well, one man's socialism is another man's neighborliness. That's what this Tim Walz is saying. He's been famous for saying that. Just neighborly. No, it's not exactly the way it is at all. Not at all. So here we are. Jamie Raskin speaking. Let's listen to what he has to say. Let's just analyze. This is from a Viva Free. I don't know this guy. I don't subscribe to this guy. I just looked up. You know, Jamie Raskin talking about Civil War and 14th Amendment. So he believes fully and thoroughly that he knows better than the Supreme Court. If he's so good, why isn't he on the Supreme Court? If he's such a constitutional scholar. See, there are people like Obama and Jamie Raskin and some of these other people who supposedly are constitutional scholars. They only study the Constitution to find the loopholes and the ways around it. They study it to subvert it. It's like these people who don't think that the Second Amendment is for the individual citizen. They think it's for a well-regulated militia. No, you don't understand that at all. Well, it's just for muskets. No, not at all. Shall not be infringed means every man has the right to stand on his property, declare himself sovereign. And that's it. You want to take anything away? His life, liberty, his anything, his property, anything from him. You want to take anything from him? It better be with due process. And that doesn't mean a blanket coverage of some regulation over everybody. That means you have to go after that individual for some reason to take away their property. Not pass some blanket law that anyone who has green grass must give up their property must give up their green grass. Well, that's due process. No, it's not due process. That is not due process. Due process means court of law. Under that individual's rights to maintain their property. There you go. And the reason we're having struggles right now is because we have activist judges who do not believe that. They're acting on behalf of the state, not on behalf of the individual. If the state says, "Well, we passed a law now that says if you have any kind of such and such on your property," that the state has you have to have that removed, and if you don't remove that, the state will come and remove it for you. Or if you have a certain bug living on your property, you can't, you know, we do whatever it is, you're not sovereign anymore on your property. So all it amounts to, I'm sorry, I'm kicking and flailing here. So here's Jamie Raskin. He's got this thing to say, and we're going to talk about what Chris Matthews says about it. Chris Matthews. And I, This is not to be taken lightly. I really shouldn't be laughing about this because it is pretty serious. But here's Jamie Raskin talking about the 14th Amendment and what's going to happen on January 25th, or we're going to have a January 25th type event because we're going to be in civil war because he's going to take Trump out of – he's going to disqualify Trump from being the election. Now, Donald Trump is the nominee for the Republican Party, and he's leading in the polls. Doesn't matter whether he's leading or not. He is the nominee for the Republican Party. The people have voted him in, and these people want to eliminate him, to disqualify him, because they're afraid they're not going to win. And here's the problem with that. This is the party that claims to be the Democratic Party. They're not the Democrat Party. They're Democrats. It's a Democrat Party. And they're not Democratic. They've just proven that to the world by watching Kamala Harris steal the nomination from Joe Biden with no votes. She was not popular when she ran in the primary against Joe Biden. She was not popular when she became vice president. She was the least popular vice president ever. She set a record there on that one. We'll talk about that tomorrow. We'll talk about some of the things about Kamala tomorrow. We're going to talk about Tim Walz today a little bit. Here's Jamie Raskin talking about the 14th Amendment, what they're going to do to us.
What can be put into the Constitution can slip away from you very quickly. And the greatest example going on right now before our very eyes is Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which they're just disappearing with a magic wand.
Section 3.
Okay. I'm not sure where else he goes on with this. Let's see if he. It's Section 3, 14th Amendment, Section 3. This guy is making a comment here. I'm just going to keep playing it. I'm going to mute him while he's talking. That way, I have to listen to him talk about it. So we're talking about the Insurrection Clause, which is in the 14th Amendment. That's what Jamie's talking about here. Section 3, Amendment 14, 14th Amendment. And it's talking about basically the Civil War issues. And here is the rest of this.
If it doesn't exist, even though it could not be clearer what it's stating. And so, you know, they want to kick it to Congress. So it's going to be up to us on January 6, 2025 to tell the rampaging Trump mobs that he's disqualified.
So it's going to be up to us on January 5th or January 6th or whatever he said there to tell the rampaging Trump mobs that he's disqualified. If he wins the election, they're going to let it go that far. They're going to let it go through the election. Trump wins. We get to January 6th. The Electoral College happens. And all of a sudden, they're going to overthrow the election by saying he's disqualified because he was involved in an insurrection. He incited an insurrection, which he did not do. Congress never said that. Now, here's the problem. Here is a big problem, folks. We still are on the edge of this whole thing. If the Republicans lose control of the House between now and November, or between now and January 1st, if they lose control of the House, I guarantee you the Democrats will have an emergency meeting. Even if they're not in session, they will have an emergency session. They will call everybody in to vote that Donald Trump incited an insurrection on January 6th of 2021. And then they will have grounds, according to what the Supreme Court said, they will have grounds to disqualify him as president. This could create problems. And they don't get me wrong. They want an uprising. They want to have a civil war begin. They would love to see the right come in and start a civil war. That's what they would love to see. Because they would bring the hammer down, the clamp stent would come down. Everything then would fall. You'd see who the elites would come out of their little wormholes everywhere. And all of a sudden, you thought COVID was bad, the way they clamped down on us. It's going to get worse, much worse. And there we will be. We will be there for the world to see. It will not be a pretty thing. It will be very, very difficult in this country. We will lose our country over this whole thing. And they will blame Donald Trump. They would blame the right. They'll come in. They'll try to steal the election. And a democratically elected president, they want to step in and disqualify him, claim that they're saving our democracy. And when the people rise up against that, they will say it's the people's fault. It's the person who was elected. It's his fault. It's not our fault. We're just upholding the law. We're standing up for our democracy, for our Constitution. Oh, our USA, oh, USA. I heard them chanting that. I actually listened to the Kamala Waltz speech the other day where the Harris Waltz speech where they were, she basically introduced Tim Walz. Oh, he's just a middle of the road, you know, middle America Democrat. Well, then I'd hate to see a far left Democrat if that's the case. Because that would be Hitler himself. Rising from the dead. Because these people are insane with what they're doing. So listen to what he's basically saying. There's civil war here. He's calling it civil war. It's going to be a civil war and everybody's going to have a bodyguard. That's what he's saying. And that's what they want. That don't kid yourself for a minute. They would love to see this happen because they know that they would bring the clamps down. Now, here is, on top of this, there is after this speech. Now, don't get me wrong. The Republicans better take this seriously. They're all out there saying, oh, they just chose the worst person in the world. You know, he's the most radical left person. They were afraid it was going to be Shapiro. They're all relieved it wasn't certain individuals. And I don't know. I've never heard of Shapiro. I don't know what kind of person he is. They were all concerned about it. But the guy's Jewish. They couldn't pick him because the left wing of their party is too radical and they wouldn't have liked it. It's not the left wing of the party. They went along with it. So they're obviously not pushing back against the left wing of their party. They're going right along with it. They just didn't want to upset them and they don't want to make it a big deal. So they picked this guy who is pro Hamas. Very openly anti-Semite, my opinion. Oh, he'll pretend like he's not, but they have to move to the center in order to get elected. So they're trying to pretend like they're in the middle of the whole thing. But don't get me wrong. These people, Tim is an extremely good speaker. When I listen to him speak, I'm like, this guy's a good speaker. This guy can convince some people. This guy could lie straight to your face. And he has. He has lied. The lies are coming out now about some of his military service and some other things that he's done. And he's back there. What she was talking about, he's the highest ranking, whatever, enlisted man to ever serve on whatever committee. Okay. And you can see he almost goes into tears, almost cries. Sometimes people do that, it's because they know they're a fraud. And from what I'm hearing from his fellow comrades, apparently, much of what he's been saying has been a lie. They are convincing him of stolen valor, and now come to find out, of course, there's, oh, this is ridiculous, it's not stolen valor, he really did serve his country, blah, 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 all this stuff. No. Now we're finding out there were a lot of things he did that he claimed to be that he wasn't. We're finding that out. He's a very good speaker. He can make the crowd. They made the crowd. He did. They do this thing. You'll see this happen all the time. I see politicians do this, and it just drives me up a wall because it is so fake and so phony. But nobody watching typically understands how this goes. They come walking. Hillary Clinton was really good at this. She would come walking out on a stage and people were clapping and she'd be walking around saying hello to everybody and waving everybody. She'd once in a while she'd get this surprised look on her face and she'd point at somebody in the audience. Oh, look there. She'd go over someplace else and do it again. She'd point and she'd go, oh, look at you. She has no idea who's in the audience. She's not pointing at somebody she recognizes. It's to make her look like she's, oh, look at this warm welcome I'm getting. And oh, look, there's somebody I know. I know you and I know you and I know all these people. They're all clapping for me. Oh, hello, hello. They have no idea who's out there. Now, what's weird is I have had this happen to me. not from a politician. It was actually somebody who recognized me from the stage who happened to know me. I didn't know they had any idea who I was. It was a pretty, and this was a, it was in a church event. Is that a worship thing? And I had no idea this person knew who I was. Pointed at me and said my name. Kind of freaked me out. And in fact, there's a lot of people sitting. I was with a group of people, and they all kind of looked at me like, "Well, I didn't know I knew you." It's kind of freaky, actually. Kind of funny. And so I get it. That can happen. But when you see politicians do, now what you saw, if you watch them come out before the beginning of their speech, they're coming out and they're saying hello to everybody. And afterwards they did the same thing. They were walking around, you know, after everybody clapping and they're walking around and they're waving and stuff at everybody. They come out initially and they come out and they're walking around. It's Kamala and Tim. They're out there walking around and they're clapping and yeah, oh, he's holding his hands up. Oh, they look around behind him. There's really nobody over there, but they're looking over there and they're waving and oh, hey, look at you guys. Oh, hey. And he'll take his elbow and he kind of elbows her a little bit and he's like, hey, look over there. He doesn't actually touch her with his elbow. You notice most of the time he doesn't even touch her with her. And he's over there talking. I guarantee you, she cannot hear a thing he's saying. Up there on that stage. She cannot hear a thing he's saying, not with that many people clapping. I guarantee you, I've been on stages. I know what it's like up there. When you have people screaming and yelling and they're clapping and there's all this thunderous applause, supposedly this happened. Now, maybe there wasn't. Maybe it was all dubbed in. I don't know. But he's up there and he's you know, two or 3 feet away from her, at least 3 feet away from her. And he's acting like he's elbowing her. He's pointing and he says, hey, that's not, and he's pointing at it and he goes, yeah, he's pointing over there. He's yelling, you know, pointing at people and talking to her. She can't hear anything. She's just smiling and looking over at him. And I say, oh, yeah, just keeps on going. That is all a show. It is all theater, folks. It's not, there's nothing real about that at all. They're not having a conversation up there on that stage. He's probably not even saying anything. He's probably just mouthing something like he's talking. It is such a phony show that it turns my stomach when I see that. It is all fluff. It's like, oh, look how loved we are. That's what they really want to project. We're so close to the people. We're just the average everyday person down on the street. We're out walking around getting our coffee with everybody else. And it's all baloney. So here is the ridiculousness. And here's what bothers me about this. All the stuff that the Republicans are saying right now about Tim Walz, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if he ate his own children. It doesn't matter if he fed his children and your children and his neighbor's children to the sharks. It doesn't matter how bad, how evil, how stupid, how terrible this guy is. They're portraying him to be the most wonderful person on the planet in the media, and that's all that we are going to hear about. If they can uphold, now you can't tell me that nobody in the media knew that Joe Biden was failing. This is the best version of Joe Biden. That's all we heard. They knew better. All of them are complicit in this. Kamala Harris had to have known that Joe Biden was off the deep. He didn't just have a bad night. He wasn't just, oh, up until that night when he did the debate, everything was great. Well, if that's the case, then why isn't he still running? Why didn't he come back after that, make a speech and make it right? Why doesn't he have a second debate and make it, you know, come out swinging? We all know where Joe was going. downhill for a long time. And all of a sudden, he's off the ticket. And all the people around him who knew this was going on are complicit in this propaganda that we got for how many years? And yet we're the bad ones. We were the conspiracy theorists. Oh, it's cheap fakes. It's cheap fakes. How many lies were we told during this entire time from these people? Propping Joe up the whole time, and now all of a sudden, oh, Kamala, now it's all Kamala. No, don't worry about Joe. No, Joe's gone. Oh, Joe's a hero now for stepping down. He's a hero. He very compassionately stepped down so he could pass the torch. That's the kind of compassionate guy this is. He didn't have a choice, folks. Well, you're forced out. When you're threatened, when you're coerced out of a position, that's not compassion. Jill said she would never forgive anybody who did this to him. She will never forgive them for doing this to him. That's not compassion. I'm going to compassionately step aside, but I'm never going to forgive you people for doing this to me. That's what? What is that? Here is Chris Matthews, just to prove my point. Chris Matthews, who's deciding to tell us all about Kamala Harris and how wonderful she is and how she stepped on that stage. And he just thinks she's the most wonderful person on the planet. So here we go. And there might be some cussing at the end of this, because this actually is coming from memeology. And sometimes at the end, he has a response and he just cusses. But we'll see how this goes. Hopefully I can just play this without. This is Memeology 101. This is today. He puts this thing out there today. Here's how it goes. Chris Matthews.
This election may be short enough to beat history, that we can have a woman of color as our next president because of the length of this campaign. They've got to get out there and keep the excitement going. But last night, I'll tell you, you talked about Jack Benny this morning in the first hour. It was the timing of Waltz and her incredible confidence to speak to that room as if she owned it. She was the MC of that room. Powerful writing, too. Great writing. Like his line, which is, this man, Trump, doesn't know a thing about service. That's enough right there. Yeah. You got enough on.
By the way, we'll get into some of Kamala's qualifications in service tomorrow, but we'll talk about the whole service thing, but that doesn't matter. These people have the bully pulpit right now. And this is what they're going to say. This is what they're going to, that struck a chord of service. And he talks about his child, the child called Hope. We'll talk
Trump
about that.
Trump, right there. He's not here to serve this country, serve you or I. He is not there for us. He's there for him. And that's who he is and what he is. It's all transaction. But
and when he gets shot in the ear, he stands back up and he keeps on going. Somebody who's in it for himself is not going to do that. He's not going to do it. He has more than proven that. But that's shot in the ear. No, he wasn't shot in the ear. That was a piece of glass. Just a piece of glass. Just, you know, pieces of glass fly around all the time. He wasn't attacked. There wasn't a shooter. There was nobody who was shooting at him. It was just a piece of glass. It was a fragment of bullet. It wasn't actually a bullet. It was just a fragment of bullet. He was never that close to being shot. Just some shooter on the roof shooting at him. He wasn't actually really shot.
The message of Hope about naming his kid Hope after having difficulty having his wife having that baby, it was so American, so perfect. And I think she last night, I will go back to it again. I don't know where it came from and where it's been 4 weeks ago even, but we saw leadership last night. Bob Casey, the former governor of Pennsylvania, who won his reelection by 1 million votes, said, Pennsylvania is a John Wayne state, not a Jane Fonda state. She was John Wayne last night. She was a leader, and she was clear that she was the boss. And she did it in a way that wasn't instructive or difficult. She just came across as naturally the leader of that room.
Stop.
He puts this.
Get some help.
A new day.
This is why I like Molly. Stop it. Get some help. I had a thrill running down my leg. Chris Matthews. These people are delirious, deranged, and they are just a mess mentally. There's something wrong with these people. But don't discount this guy. Don't think, oh, it's the worst choice in the world. Oh, this is the worst. Oh, this is a gift to the Republicans. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who it doesn't matter who's running on the Democrat side. You have to understand. They're going to be the most wonderful. They're the Messiah that has come down from heaven to save us from the evil orange man. Joe Biden, up until a month ago, was the most perfect candidate, the best version of everything. He was the guy who could do it. He's beat him before. He's going to beat him again. He's on top of his game. He's coherent. He's cogent. He's all these things. And then all of a sudden, he wasn't. And now, all of a sudden, Kamala Harris, who was the most disloyal, disliked individual, she set a record for a 28% approval rating as a VP, which is the lowest anybody's ever gotten as a VP. And she, she's the most wonderful person. She's going to save us. And besides that, she's a black woman. But not that that matters. But she's a black woman. It'll be a first. There are a lot of other black women out there that are far more qualified, far more capable, I should say. And we'll talk about that tomorrow. We'll talk about her qualifications and how wonderful of a leader she is. And the whole thing about her not passing her bar exams, not in the school that she went to, and all the other things that are out there. We'll talk about all that stuff tomorrow. But in the meantime, we have this kind of thing going on. This is why I'm saying do not take lightly the possibility these people winning this election. The Democrats lived in a bubble in 2016 thinking, oh, there's nobody, no way that Hillary Clinton's going to lose. So a lot of people just didn't even show up. The Democrats just didn't show up. They weren't enthused about it. Now, how they got 10,000, supposedly had 10,000 people in this arena. I don't know how they did that. I don't know how you do that. Now, I guarantee you, this was in Pennsylvania, and I guarantee it was near New York. This was on the eastern side of Pennsylvania, near Philly. I guarantee you that they bust people in for this. There's probably a lot of people there who are paid to be there. So don't kid yourself for one moment thinking that this was just all. This is AstroTurf, and their AstroTurf means it's all fake. It looks like grassroots, but it's not grassroots. It's phony little AstroTurf. It's not real grass. These people all probably worked for. By the way, she hasn't had one single news conference at all. She hasn't done anything. She hasn't answered any questions from the media. And at the same token, J.D. Vance, he'll answer anybody's questions. He'll stand there and answer anybody's questions for anybody. He's had press conferences, impromptu, unprepared, unknowing what the questions were going to be. He'll just stand there and answer questions. This guy actually did serve in the military. He actually served in the Marines. He was actually in Iraq, I think, is what we understand. Then MSNBC has this audacity also to use Joe Rogan talking about, he's talking about Kamala Harris. He's actually talking about Tulsi Gabbard. But they re-edited it to make it sound like he was talking about Kamala Harris. Well, Kamala Harris hasn't come out and said anything about it. Joe Rogan has, and so has Tulsi Gabbard. In fact, Tulsi Gabbard came out and spent some money producing something that showed that he was not talking about her. He was talking about me. They're talking about me in this ad in MSNBC, and we're the ones who are supposed to believe that. Oh, it's the deep fakes are on the left side or on the right side. They're the ones doing all the deep fake stuff. They're the ones lying. They're lying. Just lie all the time. Then we got this fluff piece that comes out from this guy. Oh, she's John Wayne. Oh, she owned that room. She's the MC. Oh, she's enlarged and in charge. She's leadership. This is leadership. What kind of, let me just ask you this, sir. set aside all the fluff and all the personality and the speech writing and the presentation of the words that they gave us. What were the actual words? What was the actual policy that they gave us that, other than saying that when she's president, she's going to make all these changes? Well, she's vice president. Why aren't you making those changes now? Why aren't those changes happening now under your part of the administration? Making comments like, we're going to take our country back. When I become president, we're going to do this, this, and this. Why aren't you doing that now? Why isn't it happening now? Why aren't you pushing for it right now? You're in power right now. And you make it sound like you're not. You're running against a ghost. You are your own ghost. You're running against yourself. I know inflation, we got to fight. We're going to change inflation. I know, you know, inflation is stable now, but the cost of food is still too high. What? That's what inflation is. Don't tell us it's stable. It's stably high. Yeah. That's the problem. And it all stems from energy prices. And how you can be president of anything in this country, how you can be any kind of leader in this country and not understand that our country is based on it's an oil-based economy. And unless you get energy prices down, everything is going to be high. Almost everything we get is shipped at some point on a truck. And the thing that moves that truck around is oil. Rubber tires are made out of oil. The fuel it burns is made out of oil. Everything that lubricates the machine is made out of oil. Well, that's why we need to go to electric. You don't get it. You're disqualified from being a member of our community. We have so much to talk about, folks. We have a lot to talk about tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll be talking a little bit more about Kamala's qualifications, everything she's about, and some of the things that she has said here recently, and just how ridiculous this is getting. However, the media, folks, I don't know that there's any way to fight the media other than having a show like mine where I just come out here and tell you that the media is full of crap. And I don't know how else to put that. Because they're going to present their hand in glove with the Democrat Party, and it's just it's gaslighting all day, 24 hours a day, all day long, and that's what it is. We have to find alternative, you know, news sources and ways to understand this stuff, folks. Hope you've had a great day. Hope you have a rest of your day. And tomorrow morning, I will be back on here. God bless. Have a wonderful evening.